Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness, a podcast commemorating the 250-year anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. The show is sponsored by the Amerikazentrum in Hamburg, Germany. I'm Andrew Sola, the executive producer and host of the series. In this episode, I'd like to introduce you to some basics, because it's important to remember key dates and terms that you will hear about in the forthcoming episodes. So let's set the scene. The first important event in the immediate lead-up to the Declaration of Independence was the Seven Years' War, also known in the Americas as the French and Indian War. It was actually a global war, but we'll just focus on the Western Hemisphere. So the Seven Years' War lasted from 1756 to 1763. On the one side, you had Great Britain, the American colonists, and some Native American tribes, namely the Iroquois Confederacy. On the other side was France, French colonists, and other Native American tribes, namely the Wabanaki Confederacy. As with most wars, the most important cause for this war was a dispute over territory and access to trade and resources. In this case, the territory was the Ohio Valley. The Seven Years' War ended with the Treaty of Paris on the 10th of February, 1763. The treaty stipulated that Britain would receive all of France's territories in continental North America, east of the Mississippi, also Canada. The Louisiana Purchase would happen years later and cover the lands west of the Mississippi. Of course, the native tribes involved in the war were not consulted, nor did they necessarily agree that they had been conquered by Britain, which led to additional strife with colonists, who increasingly thought of themselves as being independent from the British Empire. A three-way power struggle was brewing. Colonists, Native Americans, and the British Empire all had their own separate interests, which were becoming more and more difficult to manage. Don't forget that Britain was practically bankrupt after the Seven Years' War. National debt had doubled. Britain could not afford another conflict with the Indians in North America, so the government in London attempted to control violence between American colonists and Native Americans through the Royal Proclamation of 1763. The Proclamation of 1763 set the boundaries for Indian territory west of the crest of the Appalachian Mountains. However, this upset many Americans who had fought with the British against the French and Indians precisely because they wanted to expand their territory even farther west into the Ohio Valley. Overlapping these events was Pontiac's War, or the Pontiac Rebellion, which lasted from 1763 to 1766, and featured a coalition of Native Americans against Britain and the colonies. The war is named after Chief Pontiac of the Ottawa or Odawa Nation. This war ended in a stalemate, and you will learn a lot more about this war and Native American history in two exciting episodes coming up. One with Professor Matthew Kruer from the University of Chicago, and the other with Professor Theodore Karamansky of Loyola University. I think it's fair to say that the next years in American history were defined by increasing violence between American colonists and Native tribes. Some of this violence culminated in 1774 with Dunmore's War, which featured the colonial militia of Virginia fighting against the Shawnee and Mingo tribes. As I said, the 1760s and 1770s were characterized by violence between Native Americans and colonists. Simultaneously, there was increasing strife between American colonists and the British government. The colonists were not happy with decisions by King George that limited expansion westward. They were also unhappy with the taxes that the British government levied against them to pay for the Seven Years' War. One of those taxes was the Stamp Act, which was a tax on all printed material in the colonies, from contracts to newspapers. It effectively raised the cost of doing business on everyone in the colonies. More on the Stamp Act in an episode with Professor Steven Pincus from the University of Chicago. As the British government continued to turn the screw on the colonies, the colonists, of course, became more agitated. The Stamp Act was followed by the Townshend Acts, which further burdened the colonies financially. These acts led colonists to protest even more, and the protests culminated in the Boston Massacre in 1770 and then the Boston Tea Party in 1773. Of course, the British government responded with even more laws regulating the colonies, which became known as the Intolerable Acts. The Intolerable Acts led to the formation of the First Continental Congress in 1774. And by convening a Congress not authorized by King George, you might say the revolution had begun. Of course, the British had to crush the rebellion, and they started with the peskiest rebels in Boston. On the night of 18 April 1775, Paul Revere set out on his famous night ride to warn the Sons of Liberty and the Minutemen of the British advance. The next day, 19 April 1775, the first battles took place between the British Army and colonial forces. These, the famous battles of Lexington and Concord. The Second Continental Congress was convened just weeks later on the 10th of May, 1775, in order to coordinate the war effort. However, total war was still not inevitable, and Congress made one last attempt to make peace with Britain, the so-called Olive Branch Petition of July 1775. However, this petition failed, and an all-out war for independence commenced. Moving into June 1776, the Continental Congress nominated a committee, the so-called Committee of Five, to write the official Declaration of Independence. The committee included Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Robert Livingston, Roger Sherman, and, of course, Thomas Jefferson, the primary author. You will learn more about Thomas Jefferson in the next episode, featuring a fantastic historian from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, Professor Robert MacDonald. Also, make sure you read the text of the Declaration on our site, on any site. But I have provided a numbered list of grievances against King George from the Declaration of Independence in the show notes, and you can also find them on our brand new YouTube channel at Declaration of Independence 250, all one word. Check it out. So that's a very short introduction to the lead up to the Declaration of Independence. In future episodes, we will delve much, much deeper into the history of the Revolution as well as its consequences for the United States and the rest of the world. And now, some final bits of housekeeping. First, it's important to realize that this show is meant to be for everyone interested in the Declaration and the 250-year anniversary of the founding of the United States. However, it's designed to be particularly useful for students and teachers who may be working on the Declaration and the 250-year anniversary in the classroom. Therefore, you will always see in the show notes of each episode additional information, such as timelines, key terms, and links to further resources. Also, you will see a numbered list of the 27 grievances against King George, which we refer back to quite a bit. Second, we have created a YouTube channel, which is called at Declaration of Independence 250. It's all one word. Please subscribe to the channel so you can get automatic updates when new episodes are released. And also you can post your questions and comments. Third, the American Centrum is a nonpartisan, non-for-profit organization devoted to increasing transatlantic understanding. We provide high-quality information to you for free as a public service. However, we do rely on your support to keep our programming going. So if you would like to support us, go to our website, americacentrum.de, where you can learn more about us. And the easiest way you can help is by recommending the show to your friends and colleagues, and by following the show with your podcast provider or on YouTube. Please give us a 5-star rating and write a comment to let us know what you think. Once again, I'd like to thank the institutions who support the show, namely the Amerikazentrum, the Association of German American Institutes, the Federal Foreign Office of Germany, and the City of Hamburg. Thank you so much. Lastly, to lead you out, here is the full musical suite of this podcast series, composed and performed by Wouter Verhulst of the Soundery in Old Amsterdam. Enjoy the show.